This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast.
And here we go, here we go.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
We have the latest on KU recruiting, analysis, and what the coaches and players are saying behind the scenes. Here are your hosts, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers with another edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We're back with another football-only episode of the premier KU fan podcast on the internet. We're going to get you ready for this week's game, the Big 12 opener for the Jayhawks against Baylor. We're going to look back on the loss to Coastal Carolina from last Friday night, talk a little bit about recruiting, get into some predictions for this Saturday, and we're also going to be joined by KU color analyst David Lawrence, one of the all-time great Jayhawks. Speaking of another great Jayhawk, let me go ahead and bring in my partner, the publisher of JayhawkSlant.com and the most know-it-all, and I mean that in a nice way, of the people that cover Kansas football, the man who is in the know the most, Mr. John Kirby. JK, how you doing tonight?
Randy, you know, the other day somebody asked me, they said, how long you've done that? I said, this is my 22nd year covering KU football. And they go, Well, you got to be pretty much, you know, the senior of that group. And I said, no, not really. I think that goes to David Lawrence. So
that's a good point. And I had never thought about that until just now. Huh?
Yeah. Right. David's definitely been around longer than me. And then we're going to have him on the show here in just a little bit. So, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get back to a Saturday game, you know, seeing the fans back around the stadium and tailgating.
Yes,
nice weather. And you know what, for guys like me and you who like high school football, you know, Kansas opened up with two Friday night games and now we're going to get a chance to watch a little high school football before KU. So to me, it's kind of nice to get back in a normal groove.
Absolutely. I'm excited to get a chance to get in the studio this Friday night on 810 and talk about some games and watch some stuff online and kind of have, like you said, kind of a normal Friday night for the first time so far this season. But speaking of normal, or maybe not quite normal, what is going on out at Olathe East High School, Kerb?
Well, it's just not Olathe East. It's I was telling you off the air, my son, we got an email the other night, and they were talking about, I guess it's some deal that's going on in high schools now. And trust me, I don't know every detail. I kind of just know the nuts and the bolts, but I guess kids are stealing, like, the dispensers and doors off stalls and
what? Toilet
lids. I don't get it, but I guess, like, in some of the high schools, they're having to, like, literally shut down bathrooms because they've got to bring custodians in and repair all of this stuff that's getting, you know, stolen. So, but I guess what I heard, Randy, this is like a nationwide deal. Okay, so I guess what the kids do is they video it, okay, and then it goes on TikTok or something. But the problem is the videos are getting back to these administrations, right?
Uh-huh.
So the kids are getting nailed because they're putting the video out. Hey, I'll tell you this, I am glad, okay, when I grew up that none of this stuff was around. This TikTok and all this stuff, because let me tell you something, I would have been in a heap of trouble. So
no doubt. Oh my gosh, I've thought the exact same thing. I mean, whether we're talking about when I was at KU, you know, undergrad or grad school, I would have been in a ton of trouble. And if you go back farther, getting into high school, and you know, back in my day, let me really sound old now. When, you know, you mentioned restrooms. When I was in middle school in the Shawnee Mission School District, I had got people bringing me examples of their parents' signatures to sign their detention slips for them so they didn't have to show them to their folks when they went home.
Yeah.
If that kind of thing had made it onto TikTok, I don't know. I mean, first off, it would have cost me a good chunk of money because I had a pretty good little side gig going there for a seventh grader.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm just telling you, I'm glad. I mean, listen, who in the world films themselves stealing something?
It's mind blowing. It really, really is. I mean, like, I thought the fun of it was to get away with it. You're literally saying, hey, somebody come get me. This is what I did.
Right. I mean, if you're going to steal something, right, the last thing you want is video. I
mean, exactly.
That's what I would think, at least. So,
well, you know, now we've covered the current klepto habits of the Olathe School District and some of my prior delinquency when I was growing up.
Hey, listen, Randy, no, this is nationwide. This started like on the East Coast and West Coast long before it ever got here. This is like some national phenomenon going on right now.
Oh, man. Okay, well, in that case, let me give proper credit to, you know, this nationwide epidemic of kleptomania. We've really kind of started off going in the deep end. Let's try to get this thing back in its lane here. Let's go straight to the studio line. Kirby's going to be joined right now by color analyst and great Kansas Jayhawk, the voice of the KU sidelines for many, many years, Mr. David Lawrence.
Thanks, Randy. Our guest on this podcast, he needs no introduction to Kansas fans. Color analyst and former offensive lineman with the Jayhawks, David Lawrence. David, how's it going, man?
It's going well, John, and it's great to be on with you, sir.
Well, hey, I want to ask you this. Rewind to last week, Coastal Carolina. Tell me what you thought. Were there some things that you liked compared to week one?
Yes, I thought our offense took a big step forwards. You know, 400-plus total yards, as Lance said in his presser, just a really rare occasion where you get beat by that many points, but and you only punt, what, twice? And, you know, having a lot of offensive success, and you don't turn the ball over. So a lot of things went positive, and you know, I mean, the one thing that jumps out if you were to look at both weeks would be, you know, we haven't been as good on fourth down as what we would like, and this is interesting, you know, and Lance is never going to make excuses, and that's one of the many things I like about him, but it needs to be said, just to break it down, the difference in the Coastal game between these two teams, Coastal's offensive line, John, had been together for over 2 years. And if you were to say, okay, you get about 22 weeks to be together in a year, looking at the spring and fall seasons, I mean, that's about 50 weeks that they have been working together as a unit. And our offensive line, even though we've had guys play football before, but playing in this system together had been about 5 weeks versus the 50 weeks. And I think that really showed up, right? And you just can't fast forward that. It is what it is. And, you know, we're going to get this thing done. I am more confident than I have been in maybe a score of years. But it's going to take time, but it's going to happen.
You know, I talked to Nowitzki today a little bit about this, and, you know, you're an old O-lineman. Just talk about, you know, they've already had some shuffling. They've already moved Ford in. You have Grunhardt out. We haven't seen Hughes. There's just shuffling, and not only is it some musical chairs already, but it's a new system they're trying to learn. Just how difficult is that?
Yeah, I think it's the most difficult of any of the position groups on either side of the ball, right? I mean, because you are working with a guy to your left or right, and it's your job not for you to block this guy. It's the job of the two of you to block, you know, the guy on and the guy over, you know? And so you are working together on every play, and it might be a whole group. You know, you five are going to block these four, but you don't know where these four are going to go. So you need to know exactly where your teammates are going to be with every step, every position step that you take. And the wide zone is a great play that they mastered at Buffalo, and a lot of teams are doing that. But, you know, it takes a while. You know, you got to have very athletic dudes and guys that can move, and I think we have them. But again, we're just going back to the 5 weeks they've been together and have been coached. So, you know, they're going to get it down because Coach Fuchs is an outstanding offensive line coach. I've seen him in action. I think he's going to be outstanding.
Okay, move over to the defense. You know, what have you seen the first 2 weeks? What did you see against Coastal?
I think our secondary has as much young talent as maybe ever that I can remember. I mean, I think these guys, collectively as a group, they can all play at the Big 12 level. And, I mean, it's just a matter of time before Gilliam gets a pick, because that's what I watched him do, man, through the fall camp. Romello Dotson and Jacoby Bryant, I mean, they are so talented that they are not afraid to take chances. They don't get too high. They don't get too low. Throw in there O.J. Burrows. I mean, these guys can play. Jeremy Webb was a great addition. So that unit is very, very talented. Our front four is probably the strength of the team when you look at quality, and you look at quality and depth. Our linebackers are coming along. Rich Miller, you probably talked to him today. He may have had the best game of anyone on the defense last week. So it's great to have that addition. And, you know, Potter and Barry Hill are a year better. But, you know, that's a group that's got to continue to climb and be more and more productive as they get along. But the front four is, you know, is certainly a strength. Malcolm Lee and Kyron Johnson, I love Aiden Hatcher and the situations he's come in. And Jeremy Robinson, as you've probably said on your website, is just a true talent that it's going to be fun to watch him progress. And Sam Burt, the Burt Reynolds lookalike, you know, if it's possible to come back, I mean, he'll be back. And I'm not a doctor. I don't know that possibility, but he's just a tough Abilene kid that wants to be out there for his teammates.
You know, I want to ask you this, kind of the last question. This is more of a big picture thing. I mean, when it comes to, somebody asked me the other day, they said, Kirby, you've covered this program longer than anybody and this and that. And I said, no. I said, David Lawrence has me by several years on that one. And so, I mean, you've seen this program, okay? You've seen all the changes. You've seen all the coaches dating back to however long it goes back. I mean, just give me your take on Lance Leipold. What can he do with this program, and what are your expectations of him?
Well, as I was just saying to – I was with the voice of the Bears, John Morris, on their network afternoon talk show. I said, you know, John, and I haven't said this certainly in the last – decade plus, it's not a matter if Lance Leipold's going to turn this program around. It's only a matter of when and how many years it takes, because as you and I both know, it takes a while. You know, Lance Leipold doesn't try to be anyone he isn't. He doesn't try to be funny. He's not, you know, he's not defensive. He's just a matter of fact, blue collar guy that gets it done. He's brought a culture. I love the coaches he has brought. I think he has fit in the right ones from the previous staff. They seem to be blending together. Watching his practice is just it's just amazing, because I've coached before a little bit here and a lot in the ninth grade level, just how much he can get done in the allotted time that he has. The efficiency. Trying to think of examples. One thing is, I mean, not only are they running from drill to drill, but even in the breaks that they get, where they get water, the student trainers are there giving them water, and they are standing at attention and listening to their coach, because he is going over what needs to get done better in the last drill and what they're going to do in the next drill. It's really cool to see from a coaching standpoint. I think he's creative. he is fearless. He does not get intimidated. Just look at his career. I mean, what a jump it was to go from Division III to Buffalo, where we know, I mean, the MAC is a serious big-time league. And he took it all in stride and, you know, had been bowl eligible 3 straight years. And I have no doubts he's going to get that done here, because people like, I, you know, you read on your service, I mean, they are ready for football again in Lawrence, Kansas. And they're going to get that. And, you know, I get the naysayers out there who said, yeah, well, that's what it, a lot of people said about this coach. And all I can say is I haven't said that in the previous 4 coaches, and I really know what's going to happen this time. And, you know, does that mean we beat Baylor by 20 points? I don't know, but I know this. If you were solid on special teams, and I know we did have the block, but other than that, we have been solid on special teams. And if you don't turn the ball over, which, you know, we're at the top of the country in turnovers, then you're going to have a chance to win. And there's going to be pressure on our opponents. And anytime we run into an opponent that gives us a break for whatever reason, has a mental lapse, and all of a sudden, you know, we're in this game because we have a very athletic quarterback, and this team is trending in a positive direction. You know, for years, John, we've watched teams, and the thing that always came to my mind is, man, all the disrespect we get, you know, we should really play with an edge. And sometimes I haven't seen that edge, and this year I see it. I really see Kansas playing with an edge that, hey, you disrespect us, we're just going to outwork you. And so Lance is getting all that from them. Gildersleeve is the best we've had since Dawson, and he's got them looking better in a very short time. So there's just all these reasons and more that I know that this guy's going to get it done. And I appreciate all the supporters that you have about Kansas football, and because there's a lot of you out there. And as I said many times before on podcasts, those of us that hurt more in the previous years, we're going to feel even better and enjoy victory even more when it comes. And it's going to come. It's going to come.
David, great segment. Very well said. I really appreciate you joining us on the podcast, and I look forward here in the upcoming weeks definitely to get you back on.
Okay. Well, we'll do it, John, and I appreciate your support of Kansas football.
You got it. We'll see you Saturday.
All right. Bye-bye.
And as always, David just brings so much info and insight, and he is just crimson and blue through and through. You know, John, let's look back at this Coastal Carolina game. I'm anxious to hear, what did you think about the loss to the Chanticleers last Friday night?
Yeah, Randy, I was encouraged. And I know people are going to roll their eyes, right? Kansas football, they've been watching losing football for 10 straight years, 11 straight years, and people are going to say, "Yeah, you saw good things in a 27-point loss." But I did. I thought the offensive line did get a little more push. I thought there were some holes opened up. I thought the running game looked better. I thought receivers were getting open. I thought Jason Bean looked like he's a little more comfortable. And let me tell you, when I went back and watched that game, there were some option plays that McCall ran from Coastal Carolina. And listen, their defense or their offense, they put you in such bad situations. They'll throw vertically down the field. They'll throw out of the option. They'll run the option. They'll run traditional run game. They do a lot of things. They're a nightmare for a defensive coordinator. But they ran that option play. And I'm telling you, there were a lot of option plays where the Kansas defense was there and made some nice plays and some big hits when you go back and watch the game. So, you know, those kids play hard. You know, I'm going to tell you the biggest thing to me, Randy, in that game, and I think Kansas fans will know where I'm coming from when I describe this. It was 28-15 at halftime, all right? And you kind of felt Coastal Carolina had the momentum, and they got the ball coming out of the half, all right? So what do you think is going to happen, okay? Coastal's going to take the ball. They're going to go down and score because they had already put together a couple drives. they're going to go down and score, and they're going to make it 35-15, and the route's on, right? I mean, that's how Kansas fans, I think, are conditioned to think over, you know, the last decade after watching what's happened. But that's not what happened. That's not what
everybody expected when this sequence that you're talking about was about to begin.
Absolutely. So it's 28-15. What happens is Kansas goes out and gets a stop, all right? And then they get the ball, and they go score. And next thing you know, it's 28-22, 5 minutes into the third quarter, and you're going, hey, this is a ball game. So little things like that, and again, I know people are going to say, man, you're reaching. These are things that Kansas hasn't done in a long time, okay? So, you know, they just need more of that to happen. But to me, that was a big sign in that game that, you know, past Kansas teams kind of let the whole thing slip away right there, and they kind of came to fight.
You're exactly right. And I, watching that game on ESPN Plus on Friday night, I remember just, you know, and I felt that way. And I know we all did. I really kind of thought, well, this has been fun for a little bit, and this is where we start to fall apart. But instead, they made some plays, they hung in it, and they put themselves in position to be in that game in the third quarter, whereas, like you said, in years past, that team would have folded its tent before halftime, and that would have been that. So, John, tell me, what do you think about this Saturday, the Big 12 opener, the first Big 12 game for Lance Leipold and this staff against the Baylor Bears? What are you thinking?
Well, I'll be honest with you. From a matchup standpoint, looking at Kansas on the defensive side, I like this matchup for them. Now, you know, when I talked to Nowitzki today, I talked to Kyron Johnson, I said, you know, what are some of the things that Baylor has that maybe you didn't see from Coastal or South Dakota? And they both said both their lines up front are bigger, and they're bigger than both Carolina, you know, offensively and defensively up front. So, you know, Baylor will present a challenge there, especially up front on the offensive line. They've got a couple good running backs, but Randy, they're more of a traditional offense, okay? They're not going to have to prepare for all this spread stuff, throwing out of the spread. I mean, that McCall at Coastal really does an impressive job with that offense. But Baylor wants to run the football. They don't want to put their quarterback, Bohannon, in a lot of bad situations. They want to play high-percentage football like Kansas. And I think the Kansas defense can come out and have a lot more success against Coastal Carolina than they did against Baylor. Now, they're still going to have to tackle. They're going to have to make plays. They're going to have to match Baylor's physicality because that's what they're going to do. They got a couple nice running backs that I think they've both put up 100-yard games in both their first two games. Over on the defensive side, Baylor runs a 3-4. They've got Morgan and Woods for Baylor are probably the best safety tandem in the Big 12. And they get a nose tackle back this week, LSU transfer named Apu Aika. And he did not play last week. I think it was disciplinary, but good luck for the Jayhawks. He comes back this week. And you know, everybody, he was a 4-star recruit. A lot of people talked highly of him, that he'll really help him on the defensive line. But you know, it's Baylor's first road game, all right? This is a hard game for me to get a feel for, all right? I've watched both games, not the full games, that Baylor's played. And I'm just telling you, they haven't played anybody, okay? And I mean, it is hard to judge how good Baylor is. They're definitely improved from last year. They have some starters back that got some experience under Aranda in his first year. They're going to be big and physical. You know, hey, I think we're going to see a good crowd. It's Parents Weekend. South Dakota, what, 26,000 they announced? I wouldn't be surprised if KU can get 32, 35 there. It's supposed to be nice weather. It's a Saturday. Here's the deal, Randy. I really, deep down, these next 2 weeks are going to be big on predictions. I want to pick KU in an upset over Baylor, okay? But I also like the matchup, and we'll get into this next week. I like the matchup with Duke next week, too, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna stay with what's in my head. And I think Kansas is going to push Baylor in this game. I have said this before in recent years, and only to watch Baylor come out, and I mean just pistol whip the Jayhawks. Okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is with this series. Baylor has just dominated this thing. But you got a new head coach, okay? You got a new attitude. The kids are playing hard. I think Kansas is going to keep this close. I just can't quite do the upset yet. I teetered with it. Do I go with it? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say Baylor 28, Kansas 24. Give me yours.
Ooh. That's a close game, Kerr.
I know. I'm telling you, I thought about doing it, but I'm just not brave enough.
Okay, well, I am going to go the other way with this one. Normally, like we talked about last week, a lot of times our predictions are kind of close. I'm going to call this one. I'm saying this is all Baylor. Jayhawks, they'll be in it early. They'll be close for a little while, but the Bears just have too much. I mean, they've recruited at a very high level in Texas and for a number of years. I mean, there's still talent there from when Art Briles was there. I mean, that staff has done a good job of continuing to bring in guys. I see this 42-14, and it may not be close after midway through the second quarter. I am hoping for very much the opposite. I would love to see this be a game into the third, even into the fourth quarter, with the Jayhawks having a chance to pull it off. I'm like you. I just don't think we're quite there yet, but I think it could be fun. So optimistic for a good game this Saturday. Now, moving on to the realignment elephant still sitting here in the middle of the room. Last Friday, the Big 12 made it official by adding Brigham Young, Central Florida, Houston, and Cincinnati. I know we've talked about this a lot, John. And since this whole thing revved up again, we have been talking about the possibilities for who could be added to the Big 12, where Kansas was going, was Kansas going, and now, since Kansas is staying here, what do you think of this newly renovated Big 12?
Randy, this is simple for me. It's two comments, okay? Number one, the first comment is, this is the best spot KU has right now, all right? And if there was something better, they'd be gone. So Kansas fans have just got, whether you want to warm up to it or not, you can take whatever stance you want to do, and, you know, you can stomp your feet and say Kansas should be in the Big Ten, okay? The Big Ten's not expanding, and they're not looking at Kansas right now, all right? The fact of the matter is, Kansas still has a home right now in a power. It's going to be a Power 5 conference. We'll see what happens come 2024, 2025. We'll see what happens with TV contracts. We'll see what happens with money. We'll see what happens if grant of rights and what other conferences may do if they want to expand. But the bottom line, this is what Kansas is going to do right now. And back to the realignment and your question, I think this stuff is going to start slowing down, Randy. So hopefully we're going to get in some podcasts here and we're going to start skipping realignment talk, because I really think that it's going to slow down here. I think that, you know, the Big 12's made it official. If somebody does any adding, it could be the Big 12, maybe adding a couple more teams. I don't think that happens right now, but I think the other conferences with the alignments are good. I don't think they're expanding. So I think we're seeing what we're seeing, and this is going to be this way for the upcoming year. So I really think that you're going to see the realignment talk. You talk about the elephant in the room. I think that elephant's going to become a baby elephant, because I think this talk is going to dwindle down over time here.
I hope so, because, you know, I'm the first one to admit I find all this very interesting. You know, I just do. As somebody that talks about college football, that talks about sports, and has worked in sports off and on throughout my life, I find this stuff just extremely, I mean, it's intriguing. But when, as you said, when the Jayhawks find themselves in the situation they do currently, where there's nobody looking to add teams, so they're not on anybody's list, it's not nearly as interesting a proposition. And yeah, I'm ready for this to fade into the furniture and for us to move on to other things. Speaking of moving on to other things, you know, KU finally gets a home game on Saturday, and you and I have been waiting to get back into some recruiting news, have some visits cranking up. I know you've got a number of names regarding unofficial visitors for the weekend. Who are you expecting to see on campus on Saturday?
Yeah, Randy, before I get on to Saturday, I want to talk maybe what could be some news happening Friday. I'm getting some, just talking to some different high school coaches here and there, and I'm going to update this more starting, you know, through Thursday and Friday. But I think the Kansas coaches are going to be out full force throughout the city and the region, taking in some high school games on Friday. I'm going to try to track them down and find out where they're going. And Saturday, got some visitors coming in. And this is a list that I'm working on. And I do have probably 8 names that I've confirmed. But I do want to talk about some of those on our site with our subscribers. So I'll probably keep a few of them under the hat, you know, for a little bit. But DeJuan Mack, who's committed already, will be there. Quentin Conley, who I just wrote a story on, the tight end out of Pembroke. Well, I should say quarterback. Right, because he's playing some quarterback, but
he's officially an athlete now.
That's right. We know he's not going to be a quarterback, but he is a really good athlete. Another one, Calvin Clements, the offensive lineman from Free State, told me he'll be there, and there's going to be some other guys there, and I'll kind of release these names out on the site, and some kids I've talked to, a couple more I'm talking to Thursday evening, so we'll have some more updates on guys coming in.
That's exactly the kind of thing that I want to hear. I want to get back to talking about recruiting, about potential players that Coach Leipold and his staff could be adding to this roster to strengthen things going forward, because I am, after 2 games, I am very encouraged already from the direction of this program. One of the things, and I want to close with this, I was listening to Hawk Talk tonight on my way home from work, and Kyron Johnson was on there, and they were talking about Kyron. You know, his ability as a singer is pretty well documented now. And he said that his dream duet with someone living or dead would be with Whitney Houston. And he said that he shook hands and made the deal with Coach Leipold. He said that if that staff can get them to a bowl game this year, that he will come on the season-ending edition of Hawk Talk and sing "I Will Always Love You" by Whitney Houston and serenade Coach Leipold, which I was like, you know what? I would love to hear him belt out some Whitney. That would be fantastic. With that, this is the final word from the Inside Slant podcast, the number one source on the internet for KU fan information. We've gotten you geared up for this weekend's matchup against Baylor. We talked about last week. We gave our predictions. It's time to move forward. Thanks again for joining us. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.